What's up, guys? It's Wes, Sin City Tactical, and welcome back to the Sin City Tactical live stream show with Jax from the Minnesota Overlanders. This is season two of what is hopefully going to be a very long and prosperous live stream show. First off, what we'd like to do is start with the websites. So once again, you'll see on there that we've got a bunch of new gear up. We've got a bunch of shirts, hats, hoodies, and other miscellaneous items that are on there. Other than that, that's pretty much it on the store stuff. We'll move on, I guess, to the store update. And it looks like Jax might have frozen. Don't know what happened there. Let's see. Well, we'll come back to him. We're having some technical difficulties. A couple weeks away from doing this. Oh, okay. Maybe he's not frozen anymore. We'll see. One second. Just bear with us. Trying to get everything up and running properly. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. Let's see. Sorry, on the phone call, trying to get Jax back into the live stream here. Let's see. All right. Yo. Now, can you hear me?
Yep. Internet connection drop. My fault, brother.
Oh, you're all right. Well, sorry, everybody. Technical difficulties. That's what happens when you take a hiatus for 2 weeks. We're back at it, though. So season two, welcome to the show. Like I said on the store update stuff, we've got new hats, new merch. Jax, go ahead, stand up. Show them that jacket.
Oh, good old hoodie. You know, you gotta have a good old Minnesota Overlanders logo. Obviously, I see Wes has the Sin City Tactical hat, and go ahead and show him that lovely new shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Sin City Tactical.
We got a new logo running on a bunch of new stuff. We got all the new logos running. Minnesota Overlanders also have some new logos up as well. So check that stuff out. This is one of the beanies that you can get. And I'm going to my phone.
No worries, brother. See, sometime later on this week, we'll be working on some new merch too. I've got a couple ideas for special limited edition logo shirts specifically for Minnesota Overlanders and for collaboration gear. So go ahead and stay up to date on that as well. Check that out.
Absolutely. So that's pretty much it on the store update stuff. Moving on to some shout outs. So first of all, I want to thank Controlled Pair Munitions for allowing me to work at their gun store on Sundays and Mondays. And sometimes on Saturdays, depends on if they need me or not. Big shout out to them letting me jump into that world and see from the other side of the counter, which has given me a lot of good insight, stuff that I can give information on when it comes to the viewers, what to expect right now with what's going on in the world, and how gun stores are operating, or at least trying to operate to the best of our ability. So dealing with the ATF for background checks and stuff like that, yes, it's taking longer than it did pre-COVID to get things done, but I know at least us at Controlled Pair Munitions are doing everything we possibly can to get background checks done as quickly as possible. We start calling them before we even actually open the doors to try to get you guys in and out same day. Sometimes that doesn't happen. It takes about 3 to 5 days. So what I did learn when it comes to background check paperwork, if you're coming from another state, cannot sell you a gun, period. You have to be a resident of the state. If you have, like, say you're a permanent citizen now, but you have a green card or something along the lines of that, that'll give you an automatic 3-day delay no matter what. So I cannot let you leave the store with a firearm until everything passes. That's a law that I did not know until after. And then, of course, looking at the background check paperwork, there's a lot of detailed information that I feel like a lot of people don't actually look at when they're in the gun store purchasing a gun. For example, customer came in. She was a younger lady that come walking in, her and her friend. And I go, hello, how you doing? How can I help you? What you looking for? Whatever, right? And she says to me, well, I'm looking for a 1911 45 ACP something bear, right? I'm going, huh, a Les Bear, right? Very rare 1911 pistol. That's kind of like an OG type of pistol. Very, very specific. That's not something that you see on a shelf every single day. So for me, my first question was, oh, were you the one that called earlier asking about the Les Bear? And she said, no. I said, well, how'd you know that we had it then? And she said that, lucky guess. Okay, well, first of all, I'm not dumb, right? RX David 86, thanks, man, for jumping on and checking out the live stream. We appreciate it. Glad to have you. So, obviously, red flag, ding, number one goes up, right? You're asking me for a very specific pistol. Then I ask her, is this your first gun ever? Or, you know, what is your experience with pistols? Oh, that's my first one. Ding, red flag number two, right? So I then, you know, kind of looked at my coworker who had answered the phone. Excuse me. I haven't been feeling good for a while, but anyways, we're going to move past that. So I looked at my coworker who had answered the phone for, the person asking about the Les Bear, and it was a dude that had called, right? So clearly, come on now, shit adds up real quick. We're not dumb, right? We knew at that point what was going on. And of course, once we laid the paperwork down in front of her, she did the paperwork. Well, I found out later that her paperwork came back bad. She had an invalid ID. Tried to call her to let her know she had an invalid ID. And then I learned something that day as well when it came to the background checks. Like I said, I'm still new to working at gun stores. So what I learned is if you read the background check paper completely, it states in there that if you are purchasing a firearm and intending to give it to someone other than yourself, it is a felony. Not only will they go to prison for having it in their possession, you will also go to prison for purchasing a firearm for somebody else. So now
see now, even it, that. Even if they were to buy the gun in their name, keep it for like 2 months and then decide to get rid of it?
I mean, obviously there's gray areas in all those different types of paperwork, right? In this particular instance, we know that the firearm was not intended for her.
Yeah.
Somebody called, asked about it. We told them about it. It was a guy. She came in. Went through the paperwork. You could tell she wasn't interested in it either. So cleared the gun safe, you know, like you're supposed to, made sure everything was good, handed her the firearm, and she kind of did one of these and then handed it back to me, not real interested in it. That's a red flag in itself. You know, like I said, I messed up. I probably should not have even gone down the route of allowing her to purchase it. I looked at it from the perspective of, the store. I looked at it from the perspective of the store, and that pistol is $2,300 pistol. So I'm like, okay, that's a lot of money that would go towards the store. So I allowed her to fill out the paperwork, pay for it, and do all that. Fortunately, it came back invalid ID, so she didn't end up getting it anyways. But lesson learned, when it comes to that, to answer your question, if it's intended and we can tell that it's intended to not stay with that person, no, I'm not going to sell you a firearm. If you purchase a firearm, Jax, you, for example, if you purchase a firearm, you have it for a couple of months, you decide you don't like it, whatever, and then you decide to sell it, at least here in Nevada, if it's not an immediate family member, I'm talking mom, dad, brother, sister, that's it. Immediate family, you cannot gift them a firearm. They would need to do a private party transfer, and both of you would have to have driver's licenses and whatever other identification cards you have, whether it be CCW or not, to have it all checked out through a background. And then they would also have to pay for a background, regardless if both parties have a CCW or not, for paperwork processing. That way, so technically, yes, you could do it that way, right?
Okay.
But if it's like, I know you're going to walk right out of this store and hand it to somebody else, that's a felony, straight up. That's 100% felony. And then,
okay, fair enough.
Another thing that I found out too, so we we sell consignment guns, which means used firearms that Les Bear, that was a consignment gun. Customer had brought that in, wanted us to sell it for them. When we take one of those guns in, we have to run it through Metro's database, which is the police department out here in Vegas. We have to run it through their database and like national database to make sure that that gun wasn't used in a crime or isn't stolen or anything like that. So it ends up having to sit in the store for 30 days or it can't leave. So you can still purchase it, but if it doesn't make it past that 30 days, you can't actually leave with the gun, even if your background check comes back positive. That's only on consignment guns, though, that we keep in the store, right? So a lot of things have been learned in that scenario, right? So, of course, if any of our viewers, if any of our viewers have questions about gun store stuff, like how it all works, what's the processing time like and stuff like that, then we'd be more than happy to answer those questions. Do you have any questions?
It was probably better that I kind of proposed that question too, you know, and I definitely learned something off of that myself.
Yeah.
Because as you stated, you know, it's a little different if someone like myself or Griff, unfortunately, you know, due to Griff not feeling the greatest himself, he's not here tonight for the show. Right. So for the viewers looking for him, sorry, he's not going to make it this week, but he'll be on future episodes. Anywho, you know, like you stated, though, if it were guys like ourselves, you know, it'd be a little different because obviously we'd take the proper steps to make sure that, you know, everything was on the up and up. But you don't just want, you know, Harry, Dick, and Tom coming into the store, buying a gun and walking out with it and handing it to Joe Blow on the street corner for $20 so they can go get their next fucking case of beer.
Right. That's absolutely what we don't want. And like I said, that's where I personally messed up, and that was lack of knowledge on my end. I shouldn't have let it got to that point. I'm glad that the ID came back invalid. You know what I mean? I would rather not have a scenario where that gun leaves and ends up being used in a crime or something. It was definitely a learning experience. And then there was another situation where a transfer, it came from a different state, and I gave the guy the gun with all the paperwork, not realizing that, and my boss had said too that I was supposed to take the paperwork and put it with the paperwork. I thought he said the gun has to go with the paperwork. So I made a mistake. We ended up having to call the guy back. I don't know if the guy even came back in with the paperwork yet. I'll find out the next time I go into the gun store, at least. But, yeah. You know, it's a learning curve. There's definitely things going on. Plus, it's different. The type of attachments and stuff that I'm getting to see that I wouldn't normally see and stuff like that. Which, update on that, for the regular YouTube videos that aren't live streamed, my boss did state that I would be able to, before opening time, to take my camera in there before we're 100% open, as long as we have everything ready and we're just kind of waiting around because everything else is done, to do some reviews on some of the guns inside the store. So, like, we have SKSs with original bayonets on them and folding stocks. We've got a Valmet, which I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's a Finnish AK variant that is rare, and it's chambered in 223. So it's an AK chambered in 223, and it's old school, right? It's hella old school. That shit's hella dope. We had a PTR in there, which is awesome. Kind of, it's like a mix between a Galil and an AK, kind of. There's a bunch of guns, you know what I mean, that I'm going to want to do some reviews and stuff on. And
different, which I think would be awesome.
Yeah. Give everybody, you know, some content that they don't normally do. Plus, on the added side, Controlled Pair Munitions is starting up their own YouTube channel, too, to show stuff inside of the store. So probably some of those videos will make it onto to their YouTube as well, which is awesome.
Nice. But, and, you know, speaking of future content, too, you know, I know we're a pro Second Amendment channel, but, you know, whether it's live firearms or, you know, air guns, you know, just fun toys. Because, I mean, let's face it, as the old saying goes, boys, we really never grow up. Our toys just get bigger. So, you know, and I feel it kind of starts you out with the fundamentals for our younger viewers and listeners, at least. If you start on air guns, this way you learn, you know, your breathing, your aim, your trigger squeeze, your technique, aiming down your sights, actually getting the proper sight alignment on target if you're learning how to shoot a firearm, you know, things of that nature. Or when it comes to overlanding, doing builds. Matter of fact, I don't think I had much of a conversation with you about it, but I'm probably going to end up having to get another vehicle here soon because the Tiburon's kind of on its last leg, unfortunately. So I'm going to look at getting a conversion van down the road and trying to build like a overlanded camper type vehicle that still has usage so I can haul stuff and take my dog places.
That's awesome. Yeah, I want to make my rig an overlander rig as well, but make it like a daily driver overlanded rig, you know? Oh, exactly. One thing that I wanted to mention still too about the gun store, and this is why I chose that gun store to be my gun store before I even started working there, right? The owners, I should say, both of them, very cool people, like family to me and my family.
Yes, sir.
I was working at the gun store, and the owner, Jared, had gotten upset with me because I had done some gunsmithing work for a customer. And it was like he built his own rifle. He brought it in and just wanted us to look it over and make sure that it's not going to like blow up in his hands because he built it himself. And it was his first build and stuff like that. And I took the gun back in. Jared wasn't there at the time. I took it back into the gunsmithing room. I looked it over. Muzzle brake was loose. The capsule nut on his buffer tube was loose and ready to fall off. So I tightened that up and stuff like that. And then what else? There was something else. Something else was not right, and I ended up fixing it too. Well, I charged the guy $25 for doing some minor gunsmithing work. And on the form, I had filled out a self-built rifle inspection. That's all I wrote. I didn't write on there that I did any work. And to the point of why I love this gun store and the people, the owners of the store, is once he came into the store and saw the paperwork or whatever, and we had talked about it, he got upset with me, and he goes, you charged him for looking at a self-built rifle? I was like, yeah, I charged him the $25 for the gunsmithing fee. And what he had gotten mad about, he goes, Wes, did I ever charge you for any of the gunsmithing stuff you did when you came in here? And I was like, well, no, I was looking at it from a you know, the store standpoint, I was trying to make the store money, and I did do some work on it, on the gun. You know, he goes, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, that you charged him because you actually did some work on it or whatever. But he goes, I don't ever want you to just charge somebody because you're looking at it from the store standpoint. We're here to help educate people. We're here to help, you know, build a community. We want our customers to be happy at all times when they come into our store and to feel like they're being treated like family. And that was behind closed doors. That wasn't even a situation where we were in front of people. We weren't in front of other coworkers or nothing. It was a one-on-one with just me and him. And for him to have that mindset that, you know, he truly cares about his customers more than the business side of things, that fucking... Excuse me. Sorry, I'm not supposed to be cussing.
Yeah, neither am I. So apologize to YouTube at the time.
That hit home. You know what I mean? It was like, damn, I never thought about it like that. You know, of course, I bought all my parts and stuff like that from that gun store when I was building my rifles, and he helped me put them together and stuff like that. But I didn't think about it from that perspective. I was looking at it from, I'm there to do a job. And, you know, me and you have talked about my other day job, that's all commission based. You know what I mean? If you don't sell something, you're not really making money whatsoever. And that doesn't correlate to the gun store. I don't get commissions at the gun store or anything like that. It's all hourly wage. But
right,
he genuinely and his partner, Miss Danny, they genuinely care about the customers. They want them to be happy, and you know, they would rather take a hit on some money and make sure that the customer is happy and will want to come back and go, hey, you know, they helped me out. They checked out my rifle and, you know, did this, this, and this, and didn't charge me for it or whatever. And then they're right. It makes word of mouth. But for an owner of a business, especially in this day and time, to get upset because I charged somebody for something is commendable. You know what I mean? I got mad.
Oh, yeah. I'll stand behind that. That's awesome.
That it's completely awesome. And at the time I didn't think anything of it until he brought it to my attention. You know, I just thought of it of, I'm doing my job and making the store money. So that was my last piece on that. You know what I mean? It's just, that's a big thing, to have that humility and that demeanor as a person, you know, to care about customers in that way. And that's what's up. I'm with that. So, all right.
Oh, I'm totally behind that. You know, and before we quick move on to the next subject, you know, like you said, in today's day and age, it's hard to, you know, come by companies that are like that. And later on here in the episode, we will touch on, you know, a few different companies that actually care about the community itself and promoting a positive outlook. So, as Wes said at the start of this, it is season two. For the Minnesota Overlanders, we're coming to you with some new topics as well, whether it be here on Sin City Tacticals channel or over on my channel. We are adding a second weekly show during the week. It will be on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, otherwise 1900, for the viewers and listeners out there who are irrelevant, or not irrelevant, but relevant with military time. And understand it. Come check us out over on my channel, and we'll have some fun.
Absolutely. Definitely excited for that. Yeah, you know, adding an extra week is going to be good, especially because I want to build the Minnesota Overlanders up as well, not just the Sin City Tacticals.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm on the same page as you, bro. And you know, I feel like what we've talked about kind of offline, as far as the brand exposure goes and building both of the channels up, is going to, in the long run, you know, give our listeners the quality content that they're looking for. And sky's the limit when it comes down to it. So,
absolutely. So, all right. We're going to do some shout outs. So I want to give a big shout out once again, Controlled Paramunitions in Las Vegas, local gun store. But the next shout out that I'm going to give out is for a woman named Wendy. She is a private firearms instructor for Sight Shooter. She is an instructor out here in Vegas. She's got extremely good prices. Normally, private instructors charge about $150 an hour just to do one-on-one training. I believe she's at about $75, but that, so we're talking half the price alone just for private training. Not to mention she supplies all the targets, and most of the time she supplies ammo. Even in this day and age, she's supplying ammo and targets. And I know she just recently picked up another pistol at the gun store that's in a smaller caliber that she's going to be allowing some of her students to use. So say you don't even have a firearm yet. You look for a Sight Shooter, which once I get a little bit more information on that end, like phone number, stuff like that, ways to contact her to get those classes. She's awesome. She comes into the store regularly and awesome person to hang out with, always good conversations, and she cares about people too. You know, I don't know too many instructors that are willing to bring and supply targets, bring and supply guns, bring and supply ammo to be shot, and then still charge half of what the competition does. From my understanding, when I was talking to her the last time, she more than likely is going to be raising her prices a little bit, and it's not because she wants to do that. It's because of the price of ammo right now. So, you know, she's bumping her prices up, but even then, I still think she's going to be less than what other private instructors are charging before COVID happened. So big shout out, Sight Shooter, Miss Wendy. I'll have information up and I'll probably post it in the description box so you guys can check that out. Once again, that is a local firearms instructor out here in Las Vegas. You got any shout outs?
Yeah, so for season two, I know we're getting the ball rolling. Griff isn't here, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway for him. So our brother G3 over at G3 Survival, go ahead and check out the website over there, g3survival.com. He's got good quality leather work, especially for, you know, wraps on pistol grips and that for guns, slings, things of that nature. Go check that out. Again, that's g3survival.com. And then a couple other shout outs here. I know Wes kind of stuck to two, but I'm going to go ahead and give out three. So second one I want to give a quick shout out to is Wendy, obviously, as Wes just stated. She's kind of in the works with Wes right now to sponsor the overall layout of the brand, which is awesome. You know, not many people that watch or even listen to the channel have reached out, at least on my end yet. I don't know if they have to you, but from the sounds of it, people are loving it, and you know, people are reaching out. We're trying to get the business end of it running, but we love the overall community of our listeners and viewers, so definitely stay with us and join the journey, because at the end of the day, we may not provide 110% of an overall learning experience, but if we can provide you a small slice every episode, you'll learn something new. Third and final thing I want to give a shout out to is the NCCA NTech X Pro. Here later on in the episode, you're going to get both Minnesota Overlanders and Sin City Tacticals coupon code there for 15 and 25% off on products over there. So, you know, the guys over there have been in close conversation with myself. At least I know Wes has already set that up and got that running. And since the end of season one, I've been doing a lot of work with it myself. And when it comes down to it, and here I think next topic's going to be tactical gear topic. So you'll get a little bit more information and then the code.
Absolutely. And there's one last thing I'm going to point out. Arrow Precision, I'm getting close to closing out a deal with them. What we're waiting on now is just kind of the COVID break from happening and the political race stuff to finish up and see kind of where the world is going to go when it comes towards guns. But once I have that all worked out, we should have a Sin City tactical code that can be used on aeroprecision.com. So you can get some discounts on getting some gear from Arrow Precision, which high quality brand, especially in the gun world. So super excited for that. But we're actually going to jump into, at least the way I had it ordered, was talking about some CLS training. This is a Jax topic. And once again, if you've watched season one, he likes to try to bust my balls on this one. So we'll see what he's got prepared for us now.
Indeed, indeed. And I'm going to kind of throw a curveball at you for the start of season two, brother.
All right.
Maybe not as much as what's in your CLS bag or your IFAC for listeners from season one, but a little bit more of a tactical under fire situation. So let's say, and this isn't even so much for you, Wes. This is something I want our viewers and listeners to interact with us on. So if you guys are out there watching, here's the question I'm going to propose to you. Let's say you guys, you know, whoever's out there watching, myself and Wes, we're all on a convoy, you know, in our overlanded vehicles, shit's hit the fucking fan, and we're under fire. We got to stop the fucking convoy because somebody in the convoy. We got to stop the convoy because somebody ahead of us is taking a round and their tire is blown out. Now, they get out of their vehicle, and in the process of getting out of the vehicle to provide cover fire and point out the enemy target, one of the crew members in the truck ahead of us goes down. In proceeding, we have to jump out of our truck and provide cover fire and pull a perimeter security along with getting the wounded out of the line of fire and provide CLS training, whether it be applying the tourniquet, combat gauze, plugging the hole with some combat gauze and wrapping it with a compression bandage. But let's say I'm going to be nice to you for the start of season two, Wes. Let's say I go down.
Okay.
In the line of fire. Listeners and viewers, from the training that you guys have had from season one, let's say I get shot high upper arm. What are you guys going to do?
High upper arm? Are you talking inside arm, outside arm?
Outside. I shouldn't say out. Well, it'd be outside, but it'd be more like on the outside bicep.
Outside bicep on the right side of the bone.
Yep.
Bro, that's a through and through. Stop crying. Get up.
My arm.
Look, there ain't no artery right there. You're fine. What size round are we talking?
We're going to go.
Don't say 50 because you're not going to have no damn arm if that's the case.
Well, exactly. If it's a 50 cal, it's going to probably end up sucking my brains out of my head.
Right. So look, we're going to go 7.62 by 39.
I was going to say 7.62 by 39 myself.
All right, so that's going to put a pretty big gash in your arm. It's going to act kind of like a shark bite in that sense. Were you on the left side of the truck or the right side of the truck? In what position?
I guess at that rate, I'd be...
Because you're not the driver.
Nope, I'd be the gunner.
The gunner.
So I'd probably be back center.
Yeah, so you're standing out the manhole, basically.
Yep.
Okay, great. Now, did you drop back into the truck, or are you hanging out the top?
Hanging out the top, providing cover fire.
I don't know what to tell you. First of all, I'm 5'5", okay? Negative. I'm not climbing no truck trying to grab you. That is not in my wheelhouse.
Okay. The truck, there is a fucking safety. Oh, there is a safety release handle.
Okay, look, okay? I'd struggle jumping into my personal truck, much less getting you off the top of a truck. Yeah, are we talking overhead, like Overwatch, you got shot? Or are we talking ground fire? You got to give me more details than this.
We're talking overhead. I got shot in the arm. There is a safety release lever right under my right leg for the seat to drop out from under me and me to fall inside the truck.
All right, dude. Well, okay. So this is what I'm going to do, right? First, I'm going to do a barrel roll because every good movie starts with a barrel roll, right? So you got a barrel roll. You got to do a quick tactical reload twice before you make entry into the truck, right? You got to make sure your stuff's running properly. Then you got to battle lube your rifle. Flip it over. Pull the mag. Oil. Mag up. Check your shit. Excuse me. Stuff. Then return fire. Yell at the people behind you. Shoot that MF-er, right? Then you dive, dolphin dive, into the back of the truck. Pull the lever. Grab you by the ass. Pull you down. Drag you out the truck. Drag you face down through the dirt back to my truck. Push you kind of into the seat, legs hanging out. Put it in reverse. Start going really, really fast. The other way. You might run over another teammate, but I'm getting you out. See, that's the important part. We're getting out. Right? That's planned. That's my plan right there. No. But in all seriousness, right? Okay, so you're hanging out. Are you still getting shot at?
Yes, we are still under fire.
Okay, so then you create your perimeter. You start returning fire. Volley fire from each side to try to suppress whatever's happening and hopefully keep that person's head down so they're not returning fire back at us. You got hit in the upper arm. Once I've removed you from the vehicle, obviously, safely, get you to a point on the ground where we cannot continue to keep receiving fire, even if it is returned at us, to where we're not getting hit, address the issue right then and there. Now, it's only upper arm wound. There is no extra wound. So, okay, I'm doing my pat down. I'm checking you. I'm not feeling any blood anywhere else.
Yep.
Okay, so obviously apply a tourniquet right away because you could lose a lot of blood. We didn't hit an artery, but still you've got a big, if it's a 7.62 by 39 and it was by any distance, it's tumbling. So it's going to rip your arm in a bunch of spots. So I'm going to have to address that as quickly as possible. Make sure the tourniquet's basically almost cutting your arm off with how tight I need it to be. And then get you back to the vehicle, move out and try to get you medevaced or something as quickly as possible. You know what I mean? Call for overhead if you can get it and call for medevac if you can get it. And if you can't, you're going to have to deal with it right then. I'm going to go Saving Private Ryan, get my little morphine tubes out, stick you a couple times, make you happy, and then throw some dirt on it and call it a day. And we're out, right? Send you back home because you got your dirt.
Now, I want to know what our viewers and listeners would do.
We'll give them some.
So it'll be interesting to see if the listeners on the Anchor respond. Send in your responses to deadmaninkairsoft@outlook.com if you want to play along with us and interact. However, if you are watching this, go ahead and comment. So this way me and Wes can kind of throw a little bit of shade at you.
Right. Oh, man. I like my first one, though, the best. I think that was the best
point. Yeah, you know, just run over somebody while you're at it. Why not? I mean, hey, it happens. Put it in reverse, Terry.
Just, hey, you ever tried to back up a vehicle with no side mirrors and no rear view mirror? You don't know what's behind you. Especially
if you get my LHS that I used to drive in the service.
Yeah.
My driver and passenger side mirror, when I'd be going forward at like 55 miles an hour down the highway, would like to bend in. So if I had to back up, guess what? Unless I rolled the windows down and pushed it out, I couldn't see anything behind me.
Get old American vehicles, huh? Military vehicles.
Oh, God. Well, that's kind of like good old government internet.
You know what I mean? It's just one of those things where it's like we're putting money into the wrong stuff. Like you're putting soldiers in vehicles where the side mirrors won't even stay operational at 55 miles an hour on the freeway. Come on now. You know what I mean? Yep. How is that effective? And we're talking, that's on home soil. That's not even in a combat zone. We're talking, nope. We can't even keep the damn side mirrors open at home when it doesn't matter.
But it does.
You know? Well, because it always matters.
Okay, so I'm lucky, and I know I kind of put it out in season one on the air. I'm lucky my final drill, I didn't end up in the hole. Because we had to go up on post and grab the last five vehicles that were up there at Jiffy Lube, getting work done to them. We had to bring them 2 hours back down to the cities. And as I'm driving down the road trying to deal with one of those inoperable mirrors, I realized somebody decided to cut in front of me and slam on the brakes right away. And now, mind you, I'm not driving a LHS. I'm driving a Hemet, which for you and anybody else who doesn't know, it is a fuel truck. Granted, the fuel tank only had I think it was empty, if I remember correctly, because I didn't have hazmat licensing, so it had to have been an empty tank. But still, the residue on the inside of the tank, if I would have, collided and that truck, would have collapsed, we would have exploded and went up in flames. But let's just say, for instance, I collided with that car and we made it out of there alive, I'd be going to jail for vehicular homicide. Because granted, yes, should they have cut me off? No. Should I have been paying more attention to what was right out in front of me instead of the mirror trying to merge? Sure. But on the same side of that, when somebody cuts me off and I got to drift a full-size Hemet fueler into the next lane over to avoid hitting a small compact, four-door sedan in the middle of wintertime when the roads are bad, well, I'm lucky the truck didn't, roll over.
All right. That's crazy. But all right, we're moving on to tactical gear item. Go ahead. Take it away.
All right. So for my tactical gear product here for this week, as I said earlier, and I'm going to share it here on the screen, if Wes can be so kind here to go ahead and put this in the live stream. Good old TacX Pro Gear has this lovely product. It happens to be a tactical gun magnet, which basically mounts your gun and keeps your firearms accessible anywhere you want, your vehicle, your home, your office, beside your bed. Basically what that means is if you mount this inside your vehicle, let's say on the driver's side, if you got a mid center console shifter, you can mount it to the sidewall of that and slap your gun on the side of there, and boom, it's right there by the foot you use on the accelerator and the brake. If you're at home, there's many different places you can mount it. You can put it on a wall. You can put it literally right on your bedside nightstand table, mount it to the side of that and stick the gun there. Boom, it's there. It's locked, loaded, ready to go. Things go south, you definitely can pull a gun off of there. It's already racked, ready to go around in the chamber. Now, when it comes to at the office, my personal favorite opinion, even though most offices nowadays don't allow you to carry guns into the premises, if you are a business owner yourself and have your own office, you can mount this right up under your desk, slap the gun up under there, and even if it's at home even, and you got a desk, you'd slap it up under there, mount the gun there, and you could have your EDC on your, side, but you could have a spare backup in case you run out of ammo in the current two mags that you're carrying on you, and you got a backup gun to run with. Now, it's always within arm's reach. I think for me, being as I have the code personalized for the Minnesota Overlanders brand, but me being an ambassador for them, I think I get a little bit more of a deal. But if you use my code, Overlander25, you can get 25% off your order on this TAC-X Pro gun magnet. Now, let me just see here. If I click on this,
I took the screen down. I'm just letting you know. I just took it down. And the Sin City Tactical code is just SC Tactical. Same thing. It's a 20% off code. It does work for both. And to speak on Jax's item, I have two of them. I carry a full-size, duty-sized pistol and a concealment pistol in the truck. So I have my full-sized in there to where if I need to defend my vehicle, I actually have two in there, right? So me and my passenger both have a firearm to use in the event that something happens. If I need, and it's right here. So steering wheel's here, the Prindle's here, right below the radio. I have two of them mounted right there, and one's for my helmet and one's for my full-duty truck gun, right? So I can pull my concealed one off, put it on me once I get out of the truck to go inside of a store, restaurant, whatever, or I have access to two inside of the truck. So they are very handy, and they hold up to like 50 pounds, I believe it is. So they're pretty strong.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's a pretty awesome ordeal. As we just said, you can definitely get it through our codes, SC Tactical or Overlander25. Go ahead, check it out. Get yourself one. It's definitely worth it in the long run.
Yep, and I'll do a product review video on the ones that I have. Mine are a little bit different than the ones that he just showed, but same concept, and those ones are a little bit cheaper, and I found those to work very well as well. Maybe I shouldn't have said well twice in that short.
Right, and before you get on yours, it looks like for me, with the 30% discount applied, I can get mine as low as about $10 each with 12 or free shipping, but it's a $12 value. And then obviously the free lifetime supply to the TAC-X VIP community, and then the 10 concealed carry mistakes ebook, which is like a $97 value.
Sweet. So a 25%, you're looking at maybe $13-14
for
a gun magnet for your truck. Especially because if you don't have a CCW permit, you cannot be carrying it on your body. Even if it's open carried, if it's between you, your seatbelt, and armrest or central console here, and the police cannot see it, you are concealed carrying, and that is illegal if you do not have a CCW. So the gun magnet allows you to still open carry, be able to get to it quickly, and use it if you need it. All right, moving into my item. This is more geared for the AR builder. This is a Bev block. So as you'll see here at the top, you have basically a bolt for a BCG. That's so you can lock your upper end. And then the holes are for takedown pins if you needed to, which is nice. This allows you to secure your upper so you can do muzzle brakes, barrels, gas tubes, gas blocks, forward assist, whatever you're trying to install on your upper. Then you can flip it over. You'll see that little notch. That's for a mag release. You slide your lower on here and it actually locks it in place. You use this in a vise. So you clamp it down in the vise either this way or this way, real nice and snug. It'll hold the firearm for you so you can do what you need to do to get it all built. Very, very handy tool. They're about $45-50. It's made by Magpul. It is polymer on the outside, but it's steel on the inside, so it doesn't mar your rifle or anything like that. Very handy tool. I build, I gunsmith, and I gunsmith at the store, and we have these that we use at the store as well. So that is my tactical gear item. It's always good to have, especially if you are going to be getting into building. That's a must-have tool, or if you're already building, but you don't have a good way to secure your rifle. That's a 2-in-1. They sell things separate where it's just the upper attachment holder and just a lower, like the Tippmann's Best Gun Vice or whatever. They have a Wheeler's kind of like Bev Block thing on it, but it's plastic. It breaks really easy. So that's definitely a better option when it comes to that. So check that stuff out. Once again, that's Magpul, and it's a Bev Block, B-E-V Block. So, yeah, check that stuff out. And then we're actually going to be wrapping this show up, but Jax wants to leave the show on a positive note, so we're going to leave this last segment for him.
Indeed, indeed. So we're going to wrap this up here on Sin City Tactical, but if you want to join us for the after party for about another half hour, 45 minutes, feel free to join us over on the Minnesota Overlanders YouTube channel or on the Minnesota Overlanders Facebook channel. However, on a positive note, here's the biggest kicker here. It's about mindset, right? So, you know, none of us want to necessarily, especially being a part of the Pro 2A community, we never want to have to draw our firearms and actually discharge them. So, you know, we treat our firearms as if they're loaded, even if they're not. But in a positive mindset, especially with the way the world is today, unfortunately, you know, things are all over the place. There's many different, you know, people with many different views and opinions, and that's cool. You know, freedom of speech entitles you to that. People like myself and my battle buddies have fought and devoted their time to ensure that you have that freedom. But think about it like this. You wake up every morning, and it's a gift. Now, that gift is wrapped in a box, and when you open that box, it's a new day, and you decide what you do with it. The box itself doesn't decide how your day goes. You either got to wake up, roll out of bed, and go and get it, or the day's going to go and get you, and you're going to be down in a rut, you know, trying to figure out where you're going from there. So you have the power to make your day what it is. Nobody else but you. So go out there, live your life. Just remember, be smart, be vigilant, and stay tuned for the next episode here on Sin City Tactical. We love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Wes, Sin City Tactical, thanks for watching. Season 2, Episode 1. Stay tuned every Saturday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central. Later. Yeah, sure.